Okay, so Baruch Hashem, we've reached the Yontif of Shavuos, Erev Shavuos, and we're getting ready for Shavuos. Some are closer to Shavuos than others. Shavuos has its minhagim, its beautiful minhagim, more than just halachas that are negated to Shavuos itself, but the minhagim of Shavuos, which this year is a little more challenging, staying up the night of Shavuos. Those that feel that they will not be able to do that on their own should go to sleep and then wake up in the morning and daven and learn during the day instead. But those that could stay up at night, or at least part of the night, as keeping to the mini that we always are zecha to do with the tzibur, is that much better. The other minhagim of Shavuos is eating milchik and having flowers, reading Megillas Rus. These are different minhagim which are for Shavuos. Reading Megillas Rus is part of Kriyas HaTorah. So those that have Kriyas HaTorah, those that have a tzibur, even if there's no Torah, should read Megillas Rus. But those that are on their own, it's a good idea to read Megillas Rus for the limudim of Megillas Rus, but they're not mechuyif too. This is the minhagim of Shavuos. Shavuos is one of the Yom Tovim, so it has the halachas of Yom Tov. We're going to pick out a few different halachas that are negated to Shavuos that people ask about every year, and hopefully touch on those nekudas that are negated to these inyanim. One of them is Erev Tevshilin. Everyone must remember to make an Erev Tevshilin before Yom Tov, and everyone must remember to make Erev Tevshilin before Yom Tov, which they should do already. Those that didn't do it yet should do it already now. You should have one cooked product, one baked product. Could be an egg as a cooked product was cooked, or gefilte fish, something which was cooked, and a baked product, which the normal thing is to take a bread, a matzah, and to have these two items set aside for Shabbos, designated to be an Erev Tevshilin, by saying, you say a bracha, Shekhet Shalom's face of a mitzvah's Erev, and then you say, Behadde Neiruva, which is found in a machzor. It's important to say this. Who has to make Erev Tevshilin? So normally the head of each household makes Erev Tevshilin, and then all the members of the household are included. The meaning is that if one has married children or guests staying by them for Yom Tov, they're also included when making Erev Tevshilin. When making Erev Tevshilin, one should take the cooked product and the baked product in the right hand and say the bracha and the behadein eruva. Preferably, the food being used for the Erev Tevshilin should be cooked on Erev Yom Tov, specifically for use of Erev Tevshilin. However, it is enough if it was designated for Shabbos use, that's enough. Now, the Erev Tevshilin must remain, this is important, must remain intact and edible until all preparations for Shabbos are completed. Some use the bread or the matzah that was used for the Erev Tevshilin as Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos and then eat it at the third Suda on Shabbos. There's no din that the Erev Tevshilin has to be eaten, but it has to be around. These are just now one more point. The general minig is that Erev Tevshilin permits also activities that are not related to food preparation but are being performed for the sake of Shabbos, including in this is carrying a machzor or talis to shul on Friday for the use on Shabbos, rolling the safe Torah to its proper place for reading on Shabbos, putting the house together, putting away things that will no longer be used on Yom Tov. That may not need Erev Tevshilin, but it's also included in it. Now, someone who's not planning on doing preparations by cooking or baking or the such, they still need to make the Erev Tevshilin in order for their wife to be able to light the neiris for Shabbos. However, they do the Erev Tevshilin without a bracha. Another need that comes up minigay of the for Yontif is timers. Timers become very practical because since it's 2 days and since people are allowed to cook on Yontif, so people want to leave on different appliances like a oven or other types of things like that. And therefore, to leave it on for 2 days straight could be a little worrisome by some people. So they want to use timers. In general, timers is a big discussion when you get Shabbos. Rav Moshe in his famous tshuva asked his timers on Shabbos, and so too in another tshuva he says he sees no difference between Shabbos and Yontif. So Rav Moshe held that timers should not be used except for like for lights to go on and off. That was all he was matter for. And like I said, he writes in the second tshuva that moving the pieces on the timer to make it stay on or go off or things like that, he doesn't really see a chilik between Shabbos and Yontif. However, the psak that became more accepted by Yisrael in many places is the Shemir Shabbos go chasav b'shem Rav Shlomo Zalman. On Shabbos, people will be more meikel. On Yontif, I'm sorry, Shabbos people will be more machmir, that they will try not to come onto the head of Rav Shlomo Zalman. However, Yontif, for good reasons, on Yontif, one could be more meikel to be stemach on Rosh Lemzalman's heter. Rosh Lemzalman had a heter that you can leave things as status quo. If right now the machine is on, so you could extend the timer for the machine to stay on. If it's off, you can extend it to stay off. One has to be careful. There are different types of timers. There is a timer which is common in America, or maybe it's also when it's built into the apartment, where sometimes pulling out the pegs, it's going off and then you're putting it back on, or putting it on, putting it off, which then you need to, then you will not have the setter. The setter is that you're extending what's now without it going off and on. There is another heter that Shlomo Zalman spoke about, which he said it for Shmir Shabbos brings it down. Then again, a chayla shem b'sakana or the tzarech mitzvah, that you could allow the timer to go off earlier, as long as you're careful not to turn it off. Meaning, if it's supposed to go off at 3 o'clock, and right now it's 1 o'clock, so I can't make it go off right now 1 o'clock, but I can make it go off at 2 or 2:30, so go off earlier. But again, only where there's a real tzarech. Was the matter there? There's another interesting example that the Shmir Shabbos brings down. If let's say my timer is set to be on from 1 to 3 and then go off from 3 to 4 and go back on at 4 and stay on until 5. So now when it's on between 1 and 2, I could already extend the second period of time when it'll be on, which will be from 4 to 5, I can extend it to stay on until 6, even though it's going to be going off in between. This is a more of a chiddush, but Rosh Lem Zaman held that that would be mutter. In any other scenario where one would have to play with the timer, they should ask a shayla before they do it, so just to make sure that you're not getting involved in any problems. When the timer is off, it's off, so then again, you have to know if there's any electrical current coming or going. If you set it to go on or off at that time, that will have to be also discussed in different situations. So that's the shadow of timers. Like I said, people use timers for ovens, which is a very good etza, instead of leaving your oven on for 2 days. It's also a good etza because there's another question that comes up. Can I higher or lower the heat, the temperature of the heat in the oven? And it's not clear. It could be most ovens it would be mutter, but there are ovens where it's not, because it's really dependent on how the oven works. When you're higher the temperature or lowering temperature, are you creating a new current or breaking a current? One has to know that beforehand. So you have to know about your oven, how it works. We looked into it a few times. David helped us look into it, and every Yontif we struggle on which ovens, yeah, which ovens not. It could be if you listen closely to it, you hear a click when it's going up or down. But Eitza would be is to put, if it's possible, the built-in oven's a hard of it. If you could put the oven on a timer to go off at certain random times, so when it's off, then you could change the temperature so that when it'll go back on, it'll go on, back on a lower temperature or a higher temperature. The fires on the stovetop, can I higher the fire or lower the fire? So if it's the tzayach for the eichel, meaning in order for the food to cook or not to burn, I need to higher or lower it, that would be mutter. Again, we don't make new fires. We don't light new fires. We take a fire from an existing fire. So if I have an existing fire, I can bring fire over and turn on the gas and light the gas that I'm allowed to do. To raise it or to lower it, l'tzarech d'aychal nefesh will be mutter. The Magen Avraham gives a itzah to take up, if let's say one's worried about leaving it on for extended amount of time. So the Magen Avraham gives a itzah to take a pot of water. Now, the halacha is that if I want to drink a coffee or a tea and I need hot water, I'm allowed to heat up water on Yontif for my coffee or tea. Not only that, since it's one pot of water, I don't have to heat up the exact amount that I need. Once I'm filling up the pot, I can fill up the pot to the top and then put the pot on and let it cook the water. So what I can do is, if I want a coffee or a tea, I can even make myself need it. It has to be that you really want it now. And you'll put the pot of water on the stove. What will happen is it will bubble and boil and it will overflow. And hopefully we'll put out the fire. And once the fire goes out, you can turn off the gas. Turning off the, if the fire goes out, to turn off the gas, that's 100% mutter, and you, safety-wise, you have to do it. So I can let the water bubble over. Some people said it works beautifully by them. Some people said it just made a mess and didn't work. You can hope that it works. The question that comes up by many, many ask the question, can we just turn off the fire or in there? So we have that switch for the gas next to the oven. Can I just flip the switch off and then the fire will go off by itself? Now, sometimes when you turn off the knob, it goes off right away. It doesn't take any time. That's more of a problem. That's more of a bidayim, you're putting out the fire. It's a direct putting out the fire. However, if it takes some time, like when you flip off the gas switch and then takes time for the fire to go out, that's a question of the paiskim. Again, if someone feels the real need for it, they could ask a shayla, and depending on the need, is whether the rav will be matir or not. Another shayla that comes up is, there's a lot of hachana shaylas that come up from one day to the next. Again, this year we have Erev Tashil, which will help out with a lot of the hachana issues. In general, we have... Achana means besides the issa to do malacha, but to prepare from yantif for chol, that's aser. So preparing from one day to the next is there's an issa to it. But again, like this year, it's not so negay because the preparations that you're going to do, cooking, baking, warming up, preparing, things like that, taking challahs out of the freezer, all that will be mutter because of the Erev Tevshilin. One has to also keep in mind halakas neiris, that normally the second night you light the neiris after shkia, or some people light by the suda. But this year, since it's Erev Shabbos, you have to light it before Shabbos starts. And there are different muktzahs that may come up in the preparations of it. But thank you very much. There's different preparations that in taking out the, if you use a leftover of the wax or the wicks, the best thing is to take the cup with it and try to shake it out into the garbage or use a knife to take it out so it's a tiltay de davacher. These are different etzes that are given for preparations of it. Otherwise, if one could prepare beforehand to have enough for the first night and the second night, that may be better, but one could do it on Yontif for Shabbos. Showers is also a very common question, especially in the summer. Yom Tovim when it's already very hot outside. Again, there are different opinions about showers on Yom Tov. Some are very mekel, some are very machmir. It's a sugya, it's a complicated sugya. Gets very involved in Rishonim, how they learned the sugya Mesechta Beitza. However, if one is in need of it, they feel that they really need it, so then the best etzah would be is to do something, what's called Aver. Aver doesn't mean you have to wash one hand and then the other hand and then the foot and the foot. It just means that most of your body cannot be wet at once. So if somehow you could work out and you wash half your body, dry it, and then wash the second half, that would be the best etzah. If that is too difficult for someone, and he's in real need of showering, then there is room to take a full body shower. Again, someone who hasn't been taking showers on Yom Tov until now probably should not start because of this. But someone who does take showers or someone who's in a real need for showers, this is the way it would be done. Liquid soap could be used. The issue of shampoo, lathering the shampoo into the hair could be a question of schita. Therefore, one should water down the shampoo, pour it onto the hair, and let the water wash into the hair. These are the basic questions that usually come up over Yom Tov. We have to remember that Kedushas Yom Tov, which is v'chayiv, like we said, halach is neiris, two seudas on Yom Tov, and the seudas have its dinim of basa v'yayin, for those that enjoy basa v'yayin. And to make it more enjoyable than a regular day and more than even Shabbos, to have special food, we wear special clothing on Yom Tov. It's a special day, and it's a day which we have to remember what it represents. It represents Shavuos. Yeah, someone wanted to ask a question?
Watering down the shampoo, you could do that on Yom Tov itself?
Yeah. I just wanted to say something short about that the Yom Tov of Shavuos. The Ramah brings down Shem Davudram that we're knowing to say to read Megillas Rus on Shavuos. And as we know that the Psukim and Tanakh are not just stories or history, but they're lessons for Klal Yisrael forever and ever. The Nitzchis, Megillas Esther, is the chizik for Klal Yisrael and Galus, while we're in the matzav of Anoichi, Aster Hastapanai. Megillas Rus, the Sfarim bring down is the Nesiyonis of Ikvus of the Mashiach, the Tkufa that we're holding in now, which is the last Tkufa before Mashiach comes, the struggles and the Nesiyonis that one has to fight and go through and be oimed in order to be able to bring the Mashiach. The story of Rus is about a single lady who went through many tremendous Nesiyonis from the day that she decided to enter Klal Yisrael until Kemat, the last day of her life. And all this brought her to becoming the Ema Malchus, the mother of the kingdom of Beis David, the mother of Mashiach. She reached that through her Nesiyonis. And these are the Nesiyonis of the Tkufa of Ikvus and Mashiach. These Nesiyonis are what's going to bring us to Mashiach. Rus was a lady who, she was alone in her own world. She left her family, she left her household, she left all the belongings that she had, and she had to now support herself. And she gave herself over for this. She committed to doing this and devoted her entire life and every ounce of strength that she had for one and only one purpose, which was in order to become part of Klal Yisrael. And at the end, like we said, at the end, she became the Ema Malchus. But until that point, she went through tremendous tsar and nesiyonis. And even after she reaches Eretz Yisrael, Naomi tells Rus, in the middle of the night, go to Boaz, who was the Gadol Hadar, in the middle of the night, in the middle of his sleep, enter into his bed and you'll see what will be. And this was a tremendous nesiyon for Rus to do. but we refer to it as a chesed, that she listened to Naomi was a chesed, because she knew what Naomi's telling me is the right thing, as hard as it may be and as challenging as it may be. But if this is the right thing to do, then I'm committed. I'm going to do it. And that's what we find in this Megillah. You say this of Achana, you say this of bringing ourselves closer to the coming of Mashiach. Just like Ruth, her challenges brought her to bringing the children, which are going to be the family of Mashiach. The Bach in his Pirish on Megillas Rus has a question. We know that Shmuel HaNavi wrote Megillas Rus, the Gemara Babasa, the Fidal and Beis tells us that. If we take a look at the Megillah, it says Boaz gave birth to Oivad, Oivad to Yishai, Yishai to David. And we know Shmuel was the one that anointed David. So this is four generations later. What took four generations for Megillas Rus to be written? What went on between the story of Rus to Shmuel HaNavi that only at the time of Shmuel HaNavi was written? So the Bach explains that the pasuk in the Torah tells us, "Layovei Amini u'Ma'avi b'Kal Yisrael," a person from Amin or Moav cannot become part of Klal Yisrael. And Zegzeres HaKasef. Rus was a Ma'avis. And there was a tremendous machlekes between the gedolim of the time, if we darshan me'avi v'le ma'avis, that the issur is only on a male ma'av and not on a female, or it's also a ma'avis, a female. And this was a machlekes that went on for days. The Gemara tells us that when David killed Goliath, the David was 28 years old, and Shaul said to Doyag, ben mizeh, who is he the son of? And that's a pelvic question to ask, because Shaul knew David. David was one of the misharis of Shaul. David played music for Shaul when he was having a hard time. David took care of him. So all of a sudden now he's asking, who is he? What type of question is that? So the
what? Here are some ideas of whatever we can talk about.
Okay, fine.
Here, sir, that we can
Thank you. So the question was, what was Shaul asking? So the Mefarshim say that Shaul had this hargosh after he killed Goliath, that perhaps David is right to be melech. Such gevura is someone who has in the melech. And Shaul was nervous. He's going to lose the melucha and go to this Shaul. So he said to David, so he was inquiring, what's this guy's yichus? Maybe we can find a psul in his yichus, and he won't be able to become melech. He won't be able to take me over. So he asked Doeg. And Doeg actually said, don't worry about it. David is from Moav. His grandmother was Moavis. He's possible. He cannot become melech. But there was someone there named Amasa. Amasa was a officer, and he stood up and with anger, and he said, "Kach mikublani mi beis dinei shel Shmuel." It was already paskind in the beis din of Shmuel. May avi v'le ma'avis. That we learn that it's only a male mayav and not a female that's asa, and he's kasha for malchus. The Shmuel said, let's check this out. Let me send a letter to Shmuel. I'm sorry, Shaul said, let me check this out and let me send a letter to Shmuel to clarify if this is true or not. And that's what they did. He sent a letter to Shmuel. And Megillas Rus is Shmuel's tshuva. The four program of Megillas Rus is Shmuel's tshuva back to Shaul, explains to him that David has yichus, and that's why the Megillas Rus ends off with the yichus of David going back to Peretz, because there's a Messiah in Klal Yisrael that the Melech is going to come from Peretz. So at that point, Shaul immediately took his daughter Michal and gave her over to David as a wife, because he wanted that she remain somewhat with his family. But Shaul accepted the psak from Shmuel. That was the psak of Shmuel. So the Brisk Rav explains, what was it that changed all of a sudden now? That all of a sudden now this became the psak? So Brisk Rav points out that in Megillas Rus, there was a person named Toiv, who was actually a closer relative to Rus than Boaz. And Boaz actually told Rus, go first to Toiv, which is a close, he's the first choice relative. So Toiv responded to Rus, I do not want to marry you because Pen Ashkes is Nachlasi. Perhaps I will destroy my Nachla, my children. I'll ruin the Yichas of my children. And the Beskrov is bothered. Why do you say Pen Ashkes is Nachlasi? He should say Pen Ashkes is Atzmi. Maybe he can destroy himself. Himself. He himself is, if he marries Rus and he's not allowed to marry her, he's ruining his own Yichas. Says the Beskrov, Toiv himself was not worried about it because Toiv knew that he had the Psak of Boaz, who was the Gadol Hadar, to marry this Moavis. It's Moavis v'le Moavis. But he was concerned that since this is an ongoing machlokes, perhaps in the next dar the Bezdin will be machriya differently. So his children will have a problem. Says the Biskarov, this was a back and forth in Svara from each generation. The person said like this, person said like that. But when Amasa got up and said, Kach mikublani, Kabbalah, Mesaira, this is our Mesaira. It's not Tali and Svara anymore. They're trying to get in. You'll see, go outside. When he said, Kach mikublani, this is our Mesaira, Mesaira overrides Svara. So even if you have a Svara to say that she's Asar, but we have a Mesaira. Torah is a Pimesaira. And this means that for 400 years, from Har Sinai until Dov was born, there was no clear Achra over here. It wasn't clear. But the Nisayin of Rus, and there was a Nisayin for Rus and for Bayis. And that's the Ikvas and Mashiach. There's unclarity. And many times we have to leave our families, leave our belongings, the belongings of our families. And still, even after we are Mois and Nevesh to leave, There's still a Nisayin, because there's no clear Mesaira, no clarity. But when there's a Mesaira, we follow the Mesaira. The Masha says something palatic, which brings out the Nisayinus that Rus went through. Boaz was a Navi and a Gadol Hadar. And he passed in Me'avi v'le Me'avis. And that's what he acted upon. He acted upon his psak. But the next day, Boaz passed away. That morning, the morning after the wedding, he passed away, which means Rus was married to Boaz for one night. That night, she became pregnant with Oivad, which brought her to being the mother of the Malchus Beis David and Mashiach. That one night. The next morning, when Boaz passed away, obviously, there's always those people in the streets which were running around saying, you know why he passed away? Because he was Oivan, a tremendous issa of marrying Rus. You see from here, Rus is not Jewish and all that. She can't be part of Klal Yisrael. And that was how the whole stirred up the tumult once again. Stirred it up again. The whole tumult is Ma'avis Mut or not. And Rus continued. She continued being part of Klal Yisrael, even though again there was the sinus. So Chazal tell us that this Megillah, aim by Leituma v'Leitaira, Leheta v'Leisr, the Megillah is not coming to teach us Tuma v'Taira. It's not coming to teach us Heta or Yisr, even though there are certain halachas that we do learn from it. But the Megillah is teaching us one thing. The Megillah is teaching us Gemilas Chasadim, commitment, devotion to others, to the Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Avodas Hashem. And that is what Rus taught us. Rus taught us that no matter what the struggles are, no matter what the challenges are, to be part of Klal Yisrael and to gain godless in Klal Yisrael, to become Adam Gadol, takes a lot of work. And it's work of hanging on. That's the Ikvas of the Mashiach where there'll be many Nisyonis at the time of Mashiach, before Mashiach, where Mitzarecha, there'll be clarity. How could this happen if not for the Akash Baruch running the world? But at the same time, there'll be Ma'iru within us questions. Questions, is this really the right thing or not? But we have to follow the Mesaira. Sarah of our Rebbeim, Sarah of the Gedolim from this Dar, from the earlier generations. We have to be committed. Torah is about following the Torah to whatever it takes within the guidelines of the Torah. What's interesting is that the minig of staying up Lel Shavuos, and I'll end with this, is a minig which is a tikkun for what Klal Yisrael did the night before Kabbalah Satera. And one could say it's a pella. Klal Yisrael was counting 49 days. They were counting 1 day, 2 days, 3 days towards Kabbalah Satera. They complained to Moshe, where is the Torah that you promised us that we're going to receive? And Klal Yisrael overslept the morning of Kabbalah Satera. I mean, how were they able to go to sleep? So the Alter from Kelm said a beautiful word. Said that in Klal Yisrael, until this point, Klal Yisrael, when one received a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was through Nevuah. And all the Nevi'im, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, Nevuah was that they would get this feeling and they would faint, sort of, and go into a daze, into a sleep, and have a dream. And that's that the Nevuah came to them through in a dream. So for a carrot, they went to sleep early the night before as hachana for receiving the Torah through Nevuah. Kamash Malon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and said the next morning, says, no, that's not what Torah is all about. Torah is not Nevuah where it comes to you through a dream, through osmosis, that you could just lay and sleep and lie in bed and Torah will come to you. Torah is work. Torah is challenging. Learning Torah is challenging, and you got to put all your effort into it. You got to be awake. You got to be fully awake and work on it. That's learning Torah. Being mekayim the Torah is challenging at many points and times. You can't do it through sleep. And that was the Kamash Malon of the Rebbein Shlom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us that Torah is, and therefore the Iker of Torah is really Torah Shabbat Peh. Is the Torah Shabbat Peh. The Torah Shabbat Chsav is what it says. But to understand the Torah Shabbat Chsav, we have to harven over a sugya on Torah Shabbat Peh. We have to work on a sugya in Gemara, we have to work on the Shulchan Aruch, we have to work on the Noisei Kelim to figure out what the din is, what's going on, what the Torah wants of us. It's the Torah Shabbat Peh. With this is Muvan, the Zoya. The Zoya says that what one should learn Lel Shavuos is Torah Shabbat Peh, which is the Chayra Pela. Torah Shabbat Peh. They overslept Torah Shabbat Chsav. Torah says, but the Kamash Malon of the oversleeping wasn't the Torah Shabbat Chsav. Torah Shabbat Chsav, perhaps you could be Makabal in your sleep, but it's the Torah Shabbat Peh. It's the working on the Torah Shabbat Chsav to understand it through the Torah Shabbat Peh, which is what Klal Yisrael thought that they won't have to do, and the Kamash Malon that they will have to do. So the Yisod of Rus, when we read Rus, the lessons of Rus is just to concentrate on all the different Nisyonos she went through from day one until Kamat, I don't know when she passed away, but till she, even after she met Bayez and she married Bayez, she still had a Nisyon the next day. It just went on. David HaMelech himself lived 70 years of Tsaris from day one. Before he was even born, they were already saying rumors about him, that his mother's a Shifcha and she was Mizana and all different rumors. He lived a life of running from one place to another place, but that's what brought his godless. So sometimes we think to ourselves, it's challenging. It is, but the challenge is what's going to bring us to godless. So we should be zeichet to go into Shavuos ready to commit and devote ourselves to what it takes to be a good yid, following the Torah, learning Torah. And with that, we'll get that siyata shmai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is offering us on the day of Shavuos, according to how much we're ready for it, that's how much siyata shmai we can get, to be able to bring us all back to the Bat Midrashim, to the Bat Knesiyos, and to be able to continue in the Avodas Hashem on a higher level and more serious level than we've ever done beforehand, now that we know what it means not to have it. So we have to really appreciate it when we get back. And people should make a Kabbalah, how we're going to act in the basic Knesset, take something that we've already worked on, not speaking about the Knesiyos, b'machazik there, which we already have ingrained with us, but we b'machazik it, and we can b'machazik others to also join by them seeing how we're careful about it. And the Bata Midrasha is to learn more b'ritzifus, each person for what he can deal with. If it's a half an hour, 45 minutes, make a zman that you want to learn b'ritzifus in the beginning of Seder, middle of Seder, the end of Seder, whatever works. But with that Kabbalah, we'll definitely be zeicha to tremendous Siyat HaShemai for the whole year. Just reminding everyone again that to make Erev Tavshilin, some of us are on Chosar keeping one day. Again, so this year doesn't make such a big difference because the second day is Shabbos. Yisker is on the second day. Megillas Rus is on the second day, even for those that are keeping one day. We can learn Mitzvah's Talmud Torah over Shavuos. We can learn the Rambam Hilchas Talmud Torah, which is important to learn. If at all, just like we learn Hilchas Shabbos, we should be learning Hilchas Talmud Torah also. And Bez Hashem will be zeicha to a beautiful Yom Kippur.